It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 315, entitled A Bigger Bag and Fewer Cats. It was recorded on Monday the 18th of November, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I will be joined today by my co-host Michelle Frechette, but also by Tim Nash and Louise Towler. It is a WordPress podcast, so we spend absolutely ages not talking about WordPress at the beginning. We talk about social networks, blue sky, and all of that kind of thing. And then we get into the details of the WordPress 6.7 release. There is absolutely loads in here, and hopefully you've been experimenting with it because it's now out in the wild. We also talk about some new materials out to help you find all of the learn resources on a nice calendar. We also talk about Command UI and Turbo Admin, some new plugins which do a very similar job in a very similar space. And Black Friday gets a mention as well, and the WP Builds Black Friday page. And then Tim Nash gets very serious about a plugin vulnerability affecting over 4 million WordPress websites. And this really, genuinely, is a proper serious problem. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And by Cloudways. Ready to supercharge your website? This Black Friday and Cyber Monday, Cloudways is offering an exclusive deal. 40% off for 4 months, plus 40 free migrations. Don't miss your chance to experience high-performance hosting at an unbelievable price. Use promo code BFCM2024 now. Offer valid until December the 6th. Visit cloudways.com and make the switch today. Hello.
Hello.
Howdy. How are you doing?
I never say howdy. What the heck? just looking inside WordPress and there it was. So I said it. It's This Week in WordPress, number 350. I'm never sure if that number's right. I sort of, in a cavalier way, remember what was last week and type it in. It could be bigger, it could be smaller, I don't know. But it's about that. Episode number 315. Thank you for joining us. We see there's a few people in the chat. If you would like to join us today, you'd be most appreciative. I think the best way to do that is to drive people in this direction. Let me get the link right. There we go. It's just nestling beautifully under Tim Nash's chin at the moment. wpbuilds.com/live. Once more, wpbuilds.com/live. Go on. Go and paste it in your platform of choice. We'll be talking about that in a bit. And encourage people to come and say hi. It's lovely when they do. Over there, though, we've got an embedded video. And the video is embedded from the platform, but it's also going out on YouTube live. And I think most people actually watch it over on YouTube. I'm not entirely sure. But if you do want to comment, wpbuilds.com/live, there's a YouTube box. But if you don't want to, there's a little live chat within the video itself. Top right, little black button, it says live chat. You can go in there and then you don't need to be logged into a leviathan of a tech giant in California, the likes of Google and things like that. So that's the way to do that. And I'm very grateful. I am joined by three fabulous people today. Let me just get their bios out. Here we go. First one is down in the corner, I think, down there. It's co-host today, Michelle Frechette. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. I almost said good morning, and then I remember it's only morning for me and not the three of you.
It is. It is definitely the afternoon. And Michelle Frechette is the Director of Community Engagement for Stella WP at Liquid Web. In addition to the work at Stella WP, Michelle is the podcast barista at WPCoffeeTalk.com, co-founder of UnderrepresentedInTech.com, creator of WPSpeakers.com, and also WP Career Pages, the Executive Director at PostStatus.com. She also co-hosts the WP Motivate podcast and the WP Constellations podcast. She is an author, a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events, and she lives outside of Rochester, New York, where she's an avid nature photographer. And last URL, if you want to learn more about Michelle, she has a dedicated website for that one called meetmichelle.online. That's you've trimmed that back a bit, I feel.
I did. It felt a little ostentatious. I mean, okay. In writing it's one thing, but to hear you say it every other week is bit much.
Yeah, okay. What we need is like a bit.ly short link for all of them. Go here and you can see all the
We can probably just take off the .coms.
That's a good idea. Anyway, there we go. Thank you for all of your hard work and thank you for joining us once more. We also have down there is Tim Nash. How you doing, Tim?
Hello. It's just started snowing.
Nice. I love it when it snows. I know that's like childish, but it is. Oh, it's so cool. I just love it. And we very rarely get it in the UK these days. When I was a kid, I remember we used to get like whole loads of it, and not anymore. Global warming, it's a thing. Okay, we're all nodding. Good. I think we can all agree. Tim Nash, though, is joining us from snowy Yorkshire, not that far. I think we worked out he's about 40 miles that way. You'd be out that way. Okay, I'm over the way. Pointing at each other over the moors. Now, Tim has done something a little bit different. Tim has penned a poem for his biography today. And so that's good. I'm going to read it out. Here we go. There once was a Nam named... Oh, I've messed it up already. There was a Nam...
Start again.
Right, here we go. There once was a man named Tim Nash whose warnings were known to be brash. In WordPress, he'd loom, a doom speaker of gloom, but his insights a security stash. It gets better. With hackers, he'd deftly outplay and keep WordPress woes at bay. Be it one or a crowd, he'd speak fierce and proud, though sometimes he just gets in the way.
How about you?
Yeah.
And Who says developers aren't creative?
Yeah, well, I said, was that the GPT or was that the Nash? And he said it was a bit of both.
Yeah, it's really difficult. A doom speaker of gloom. And I was like, it's weird I got that line. And it's like, I was like, now what time speak gloom? So it's like, this is a good case of, hey, ChatGPT, I have the following lines. Fill in the other bits.
Brilliant. Thank you. You always turn up with something a bit good with these kind of bios. That's really nice. Let's get to Louise. Louise Towler over there. Is this the first time you've been on the show, Louise?
I think it might be, yes. Yes. Louise, thank you very much for the invite.
You're very welcome. Louise and I have met absolutely loads of times in person, but never on a show such as this. So here we go. This is the intro that you've not had before. Louise is the MD of Inigo Tree. You can see that the little lower third or something. A WordPress design and development agency with expertise in website strategy, content creation, and technical SEO for business, nonprofits, agencies, and schools across the UK. Ooh, that's an interesting pivot. With over 30 years of experience in software and website development, Louise has grown Inigo Tree over the last decade, driven by her passion for technology and business, and an enthusiasm to deliver the best results to clients. Louise is also the founder of Canopy, also in the lower third, an innovative plugin for WordPress that helps organizations measure and reduce their website's carbon footprint. And I know that's been keeping you very busy in the more recent months.
It has.
Yeah.
It has indeed.
Let's move on and let's talk about the WordPressy stuff from this week. But there's our panel. Thank you very much for joining us. If you are dropping in the chat, oh gosh, wow. Okay, there's a few. Let's just go through a few quickly. James is joining us and he says, hello, good morning. Well, hello indeed. Courtney's joining us as well. Thank you very much. Tammy, Good afternoon. I have a fresh chai with vanilla and oat milk. What is everybody brewing? And then it got into the drinks, didn't it? Michelle, Colombian medium brew with Italian sweet cream. That sounds nice. I replied with Lemsip. Lemsip's like this thing full of paracetamol to make you feel less rubbish. I've got a bit of a man flu, so basically I'm dying. Tim can identify, I'm sure. Yeah, oh, it's terrible. Okay. I have maple tea in hand, says Courtney. And Cozy Cardi of the Day Award. Yeah, I wish I had an award for that, but it would definitely go to Tim. Birgit's joining us. She says, hello, gorgeous folks. Peppermint tea for me. Already had enough caffeine today. I do like this idea of doing drinks at the beginning. This is a great idea. Tammy's recommending that Tim gets himself a pipe.
You don't have to smoke it. You just have to hold it.
Yeah, just hold it. Yeah.
It could be a bubble pipe. You could have bubbles in it.
I like it. James, he says he's got a tea as well, and a leaf in my hand. Had to clean the back deck just now. Tea is the one. Tea is winning out. I thought it'd be coffee all the way down.
This is a good old Yorkshire tea in here.
Oh. Did you hear, Louise and Tim, this will mean something to you. I'm sorry, Michelle, it won't. Typhoo has gone bankrupt.
Yes.
Typhoo, the tea manufacturing company, had brilliant ads when I was a kid with these cartoon characters all dressed in like caps and like science overalls and things. They've gone, sadly. So you can't, what is it? Only get an ooh with Typhoo. And enough advertising that tea brand that doesn't exist anymore. Good morning, says Cammy and Reese and Patricia as well. What else have we got? Nippy here. Yeah, it's definitely cold here. And we haven't had Peter Ingersoll, who usually joins us. So I hope he's all right. Hi from Washington, D.C., says Ian. And
Tammy agrees with me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Please let it be a bubble pipe like the caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland. Okay, Tim, you now have some homework.
DM me your address, Tim. I think I have something coming in the mail to you soon.
That'd be great. And Cammy, all right, Cammy doing it. Check it out. She's on a treadmill. Cammy, I'm thinking about the same thing. At the minute, I have this fixed desk. It's basically an old piece of like a kitchen work surface that I repurposed as my desk. It spans the width of the room. I'm thinking of getting one of those standing desks, you know, where you push a button and it goes up and down, and then putting a treadmill underneath it. I mean, in all honesty, what will happen is I'll just put a chair on the treadmill and turn the treadmill off, but at least I'll have a treadmill that I can say that I'm on. But I like it. I like the idea of doing that. Right, enough of that. Let's get onto the WordPressy stuff. Here we go. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you want to keep in touch with what we do, put your email address in there. And click subscribe, and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. Number one will be when this podcast episode comes out, because what we do is we do it live now, and then I repurpose it as a podcast episode, and it comes out at stupid o'clock tomorrow morning. So that'll be the first email. And the second email will be on Thursday when we do our regular podcast episode. If you scroll down, on the right here is always this show. So that was last week's one. And then over on the left here is the podcast episode. You'll hear about that on Thursday as well. And I'll just let you know what we did there. That was me and Ray, excuse me, Ray Murray from the repository. And we are doing this show every 3 months. I'm doing one with Tim as well, all about security, but it hasn't come around to its second episode yet. But the second one of this has come around, and it's called What Just Happened? And the idea was that every 3 months we'd talk about what had happened in the WordPress space. And both Ray and I thought, yeah, you know, a few things will happen every 3 months or so. And so we did the first show. And then the last 3 months, good grief, we could have talked for quite a long time, but we managed to distill it into about 45 minutes. So you can go and check that out. It's episode number 300. Gosh, that's close to 400, isn't it? I should probably do something significant at 400, like miss it out entirely and go straight for 401, just to confound things. Anyway, there you go. That's that. And the last thing I want to mention about us, WP Builds, is that white screen. No, is this. This is our Black Friday deals page. It's at wpbuilds.com/black, or you can click this. We're now on 303 deals. It makes the scroll bar really tiny. Look at that. And we've got all the Black Friday deals basically in the WordPress space on here. So if you have a product or service and you want to stick it on this page, click this add a deal button. And we'll stick it on. It doesn't cost anything. It's just totally free. And if you find a broken link, please click that. But also, if you want to just sort of search and filter things, then you use that button instead. Give us a plugin. Let's see if it's on offer, one of you three.
GiveWP.
Okay, let's go for Give. Let's try Give and then click Return. Let's see. I'm hopeful. There we go. Look, there's GiveWP. Nice. 30% off GiveWP. Starts, already started, 1st of November. Started that began.
It's all a month, yeah.
Yeah, you've got until the 30th of November. Any others you want to give a try to? Anybody? Bueller? Let's try.
Do WS form for Mark.
Okay, yeah, okay. Let's do WS form. I don't know if the significance of the space there is important. Yeah, there you go. Look, there you go. That one begins on the 25th and runs for, looks like, a couple of weeks or something, 6th of December. And you can go and get it by clicking this button. Also, we've got some sponsor slots at the top. And WS form is a sponsor, as is Real Cookie Banner and Gravity Forms. And if you fancy taking one of these little sponsor slots at the bottom, then click this Get Started button and we'll get you on board. This page gets a boatload of traffic during the run-up to Black Friday. So once more, wpbuilds.com/black. If, like me, you have decided that Twitter is kind of an interesting place that you're not that bothered about being involved in, then this could be quite interesting. I had no intuition that this was going to happen, but it looks like a lot of WordPressers have made the jump. I'm guessing there's a connection with US politics. I've got to imagine that's the only catalyst. But this week, the amount of people in the WordPress space over on Blue Sky has really gone through the roof. And I set my account up a long time ago and obviously set the notifications to on. I didn't realize I'd done that. And then about Wednesday this week, just started to get notified that people were beginning to follow me. And it's gone berserk.
It really has.
Yeah. Okay. So same thing for you, Michelle. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. And my opinion is that just like everything in the world, it will have a time where it's fruitful and enjoyable and, you know, the grass is green and it won't last forever. But right now, it really is a very different experience. There's no algorithm in there. One of the nice things that you can do is you can set your account handle to be a domain that you own. You just add a text record to your DNS. So, you know, I could be wpbuilds.com. I actually went with nathanwrigley.com in the end because I thought that's kind of divorced from any, you know, thing. I could just be whatever I wanted to be. But you can do that if you want as well. And the conversation is pretty broad and deep at the moment. Mm-hmm. Lots of WordPressers out there. And it's got this neat thing called a starter pack where you can sign up to Blue Sky. And one of the onboarding questions is kind of, what are you interested in? And rather than it being algorithmic, you pick something that somebody has curated, and I've curated a list of what I'm calling WordPressers. So you can find that. And then there's about 100 and I don't know, maybe there's like 100 people on there that are just on Blue Sky already that are using WordPress and posting about WordPress. And in that way, you can then just kind of follow those people if you're into it.
I joined at the weekend, found you, and then basically followed everyone in your starter pack.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah.
And I've already had a few follows back, despite the fact I haven't posted anything yet.
I'm one of them.
Yeah,
exactly. But it was just a nice way to get started, which that was really nice.
I think
I went from 3 followers last week because I hadn't posted anything to 483 followers today.
Yeah, that's, you
it's
see?
Insane.
Yeah, it is insane, right?
I'm quite happy with my 3 followers on.
Yeah, come on, I'm doing it. What you need is
any more of these social media accounts in my life.
What you need is a pipe, a picture of you with a pipe. That'll boost things, I'm sure. But it's very nice at the moment. The UI is literally the same as Twitter. If you've been logging in without some sort of third party app and you've just been inside of Twitter, it's just basically the same. And everything's exactly as you'd expect. There's lots of missing stuff really from Twitter. But I think the less algorithmic approach is quite nice. So Blue Sky, I think you go to, yes, BSKY, so bsky.app. And there you go. Anybody want to add anything to that? I thought that was kind of
interesting. No, I'm just posting the same thing in like 7 different social channels.
Yeah, I don't know what we do about that, to be honest. That is my concern with all of these things, is that you basically just shatter your attention across all the things, don't you? And that's one of the things I like about the Fediverse, is that, you know, everything can be somehow federated, so you don't need to worry about that. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that, I think they call it the AT protocol. It's a capital A, capital T, but obviously, you know, giving a nod to the AT sign. The AT or AT protocol that Blue Sky have as the backbone of their technology, I think that is intended, maybe it does already, to federate with things like Mastodon and PixelFed and other ActivityPub style protocols as well. So hopefully we're going into a space where we can, you know, curate our own things a little bit more.
Just remember that the thing about marketing is you meet your customers where they are. So if you still have customers across all the areas, you still want to be advertising across all the areas.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good point. I find that really hard just to keep the interest going. So I end up with apps which just send out the information to all the different platforms. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them have had to pull, because of the API restrictions from Facebook, they've had to pull Facebook groups. And then more recently, the one that I use is called Publer, and it's been really good, but they got a bill for Twitter. Their bill for the Twitter API access is $45,000
a
week.
A week?
Oh, okay. Maybe it's a month. Okay, let's go with months, right? It's still an eye-watering amount of money.
Yeah.
So they've had to withdraw their Twitter support unless you pay a fee, and the fee is fairly significant compared to what you might pay. Anyway, so the point being that all of those things just, I don't know, they don't sit great with me, to be honest.
To answer your earlier question, though, yes, it is very much tied to the U.S. politics. Elon Musk's being named to the cabinet for the incoming president.
Mm.
Okay, right. Okay, so lots of people moving over there. And just to keep the conversation about treadmills going, because that's what we were all thinking about, Tammy has a standing desk. Best decision ever. Do you have a treadmill under it, though, Tammy? That's the bit that I want to know. What I should get is a chair with wheels on it, and then get the treadmill going, and the chair can just trundle along on top, and I'll feel really good about myself. If Tim gets a bubble pipe, says Courtney, he must also recite the Jabberwocky to us.
Beware the Jabberwocky.
Boys can do it.
Close the catch. I can't remember.
Something about a bandersnatch. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Okay. You need a good episode for 404. Oh, no, that one I'm just not showing up. just gonna leave the room. Also consider the Fediverse. Yes, you can even own your own social media ActivityPub plugin for WordPress. That is absolutely true. My opinion of that, Patricia, has kind of changed more recently. And I've kind of got to the point where I kind of want somebody else to do the handling of the infrastructure of the social media for me. So that's why Blue Sky is seeming so appealing. Whereas the ActivityPub thing, and I had a Mastodon install for like three or four years. And I don't know. I just don't want to own people's data in that way or have to deal with it and things. No treadmill. Oh, darn. There we go. Oh, you're at the gym. Oh, I thought you're at home. Oh, that's less exciting. I'm so sorry. Of course there's a treadmill at the gym. I get it. Right. You're watching this at the gym. What the heck? Marcus
guessing on her phone.
This is amazing. I'm very, 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 very surprised. Thank you so much, Cammy. Marcus Burnett once watched it on a plane, which was gobsmacking, frankly.
Does that I'm not surprised.
Are we going too slow or too fast?
What's that? Say that again.
We need to have a tempo going and keeping a beat.
I find the gym very boring. So actually watching podcasts, I think, is a great activity to do at the gym. And
When I first started this podcast, I was about 20 weeks in or something like that, and I asked for people's commentary, and Doug Bellchamber, who was a community member but doesn't really occupy the WordPress space, He just sent me the slightly pithy comment, "It's the perfect cure for insomnia." That's what he wrote, which I put on the website. Okay, so she says, "Hey, this isn't easy. I'm so sorry, Cammy. I didn't mean to be facetious. We're very grateful for your participation." Okay, right, let's get stuck into the actual WordPressy stuff for this. Oh, no, quickly. Apropos of that, actually, this is Blue Sky about Twitter, really. And then I thought this is kind of an interesting pivot. The Guardian, which is a UK paper, you can see it here. It's kind of fairly left-leaning, so this isn't a great deal of surprise, in all honesty. But it's got a significant reach in the UK. It's very popular, has a really credible website and presence, and they've decided that they're no longer going to post. And I think it's quite a hit. If I remember rightly, they've got 80 accounts across X, I'm guessing for, you know, sport and politics or whatever else, with 27 million followers. But they've made the decision to step away from X, and I presume it's to do with the political angle. So it'd be kind of interesting to see if X grows in popularity. I was chatting to somebody the other day who knows this kind of stuff inside out, and apparently X has grown in the more recent past. So
there's a lot of bots too, though. And okay. Last week it fact checked Elon Musk and said that he was posting things that were wrong. Oh. His own platform fact checked him. So that was funny.
I would imagine as well the moderation that they have to do on the comments about some of their articles might be another reason.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Anyway, they've taken the principal decision not to to go on X anymore. I think my intuition is that I will slowly but surely kind of move away from X, but we'll see. Okay, on to some WordPressy stuff, finally. We're only half an hour in, and we haven't really talked about WordPress. But there you go, how we roll sometimes. Here it is, the shiny new WordPress 6.7, named after Rollins, who was, what was his actual name? It just says codename Rollins.
Sonny.
Rollins, not Rollins. Okay, I'm showing my Britishness. I don't care much for the jazz metaphors going down all the time, but here we go. Here's what's new. We've got this fabulous new theme, 2025, and it's got like, it kind of feels like the niche-y theme. It's got like loads of different niches that you can click buttons to invoke. I won't go into that because we've done that a lot. The controversial, I think, zoom out mode, which is invoked with this little button here. If you're watching it, there's a little button fairly close to the publish button, and it's a little black square with two arrows pointing away from each other, you know, kind of zoom out. It's like a pinch to zoom kind of thing. And I've noticed on my WordPress install, I don't know if I've done something wrong, when I drop a pattern in, the zoom is invoked. And so I immediately go into the zoom out interface, which is not what I would want. So I haven't yet figured out how to switch that off. I'm still currently dropping patterns in and I'm zoomed in. Luckily, I knew to click the zoomed out button. But you were saying, Louise, it's just another pain point for your clients to...
I mean, we build all our sites with the block editor. Real big fans of it. Our clients love it. What you see in the back end is what you see in the front end. And we do training with them. We do a minimum of a 45-minute to an hour online call, showing them how to use the block editor and getting them familiar with it before the site's launched. Sometimes some of our clients are putting content in as part of that as well. And anything which changes the way the block editor works, I know for a fact we'll get clients very confused about why it's suddenly behaving differently. And then we'll also get some clients who will just end up calling our support help desk or you know, getting in touch. And if it's on by default, and I have to say I haven't tested it yet myself, then it's just one of those things where I'd prefer to curate it and send out an email and just say, if you want to have this feature, this is how you turn it on, rather than have to explain to people how to turn it off, or even if it can be turned off, because it seems quite an opinionated thing to do.
Yeah, what I have is a fairly gigantic pattern. I mean, it really is. It's like, like really from top to bottom, it's like, you know, if you imagine it in A4 size, it'd be like two A4 bits of paper shoved next to each other. So it's fairly big. So I don't know if it's if it's made a judgment that, well, it would be nice to see all of that, because you can't see it as just, it's not just like a row or, I don't know, some little thing. So I don't know if it's that, but certainly the first, I just assumed there was some mistake to begin with. And because I knew what to do, I just clicked the button and it went away. But hopefully, maybe somebody can tell me in the comments, maybe that's just not a thing when you drop patterns in that happens. But the interface, I love it. It's just the fact that it invokes itself. But I think it's an absolutely brilliant UI strategy for getting people to see kind of the bigger picture, because you can see a ton right off the bat. And if like me, you can be working on a teeny tiny little Mac with a tiny screen, you really are constrained by what you can do. And this just drops away, gives you a nice overall look, and you can reposition things, drag that whole row up and down.
That's the nice thing. I think especially a lot of the designs nowadays that we're doing, essentially a lot of patterns and rows of content. And really, it's very easy in the block editor. And one of the things we set it on is really easy to drag things up and down. You don't have to change any templates. You can just pop things in. But sometimes clients can get a bit lost about where they are. And I think seeing that overview within the editor rather than having to preview is a benefit. And also sometimes putting patterns in, if you've accidentally placed your cursor in the wrong place and then gone to insert a pattern, sometimes it can go in the wrong place.
Yep.
So being able to preview is, again, it's an easy way of moving it to the right place. So I don't disagree with having it. It's just that change to what people are currently used to, that's always a little bit wearing.
Yeah. Tim, Michelle, anything on just that one feature?
I was going to say, I think that the way it's working is how it's intended to. So it, 9 times out of 10, it won't expand out, and it only expands out if you're, if what you're looking at, if you drop a pattern that is greater than the screen size, and it's done so that you realize that there's stuff below. Which, I'm pretty sure that's not what it was intended to do. And if it is, it's actually really useful.
Yeah.
If you're putting a new pattern, not necessarily a pattern that you like, I'm just dragging this on and then I'm going to do my next thing. I don't need to worry about it. But if you're dragging a pattern you may not have used before on and you drop it on and you might not realize, and you go and publish your page and there's a bunch of lorem ipsum just under the fold because you didn't realize that was a bit you were meant to edit. So I can see why you'd have it zoom out. And the idea that you can just go, I mean, the fact it doesn't make a sound effect, I think, is the biggest issue.
Yeah. That was, no, they've missed a trick there. That were, and especially that sound as well. That's a,
I'd love that.
Yeah, dropping something into water.
That'd be awesome.
The it reminds me of like an email builder, like MailChimp or something like that, where you sort of, you know, there's just plenty of space on the left and the right, and you just see the tiny thin column, usually, you know, 600 pixels for an email or something like that, but it feels like that. And okay, so in my case where I've dropped in these patterns, it's behaving as one might expect, and it's honestly, it's not that hard. You just click the black button, which is then invoked in the top right hand corner. Maybe there's a way for me to switch that off, but like you say, Louise, I think it'll replace for me the viewing as a preview. I think I'll just click in that button, and that'll be that, you know. So okay, anyway, sorry, this is a bigger article than that. So that's the zoomed out view, nice feature. Okay, so this, I wish we'd had this for the longest time. So connect blocks and custom fields with no hassle or code. I'll just quickly read it because it does a better job. This feature introduces a new UI for connecting blocks to custom fields, putting control of dynamic content directly in the editor. Link blocks with fields in just a few clicks, enhancing flexibility and efficiency when building. Your clients will love you as if they already didn't. So you can imagine it, you know, you've got a custom fields plugin, I don't know, something like ACF, something like that, and you want to just map those fields onto your page or post or template or whatever it is. Now you can do it inside of WordPress without like a custom fields plugin to do that. But Tim, was it you, Louise, before we hit record, there was some sort of constraints around this. I can't remember what you said. Something about it wasn't you.
No. I mean, I think this is a good thing. I think it would be nice if custom patterns were by default in there, because often the types of content we have on sites which have a lot of custom fields tend to be content with a lot of structure to it. So, for example, a team member will have a custom post type and there'll be a job title and a LinkedIn link. And the fact that custom post types aren't natively in WordPress means that for us this is helpful, but actually it doesn't solve that bigger problem of getting that custom data in the first place to be able to then use it in the block.
Okie dokie.
Oh, I just used a plugin to do just this.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Yeah.
It's, I had a scenario where I wanted lots of dynamic data coming in to lots of posts. And in the end, I used generate blocks, which has its custom dynamic bits in it.
Yep.
Which this will take away that need for that. We still don't have what would I think is still like the killer feature, which is to do like inline inside a block, be able to say, I just want to replace one word in a paragraph.
Oh, exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, there's been like previews of that. And I think it's called, I think Bits was a name for it.
Bits.
Tammy's in the comments. I'm pretty sure it was either Tammy wanted it named Bits or it was going to be called Bits, and I can't remember which.
Yeah,
but maybe she can tell us if that's its official name or not. But until we've got that, this is sort of nice, but it's really clunky to work with.
Yeah, you kind of get the option of like, I'm sure I did play with it at some point. I think you get a prefix and a suffix or something like that, but then you don't get to sort of expand it out and say, hi, and then, I don't know, insert custom field name.
I ended up using an awful lot of rows.
Right, okay, yeah. And then,
the right way to do it, but it was the way I could do it.
Tammy says it wasn't my naming, but I wanted it to be called Bits. So that's as good as anything else. Honestly, I'm going to use a complicated word. The nomenclature that we've been throwing around in WordPress recently, we should settle on something. And Bits is easy to spell, so let's go with that, shall we? Okay, so that's a nice feature, though. If you've got some fairly basic stuff at the moment that you want to put into custom fields, you can do it in core. Your WordPress website out of the box can do it. If you're into fonts, there's now a new style section and new possibilities. One nice feature that I spotted on a video from Jamie Marsland, I'll mention that in a minute, is the ability to now play with the fonts and the website designs, you know, colors, etc., separately in the UI. So you can play with the fonts, but not the colors, but the colors can be separate. They've been separated out basically in the UI, and it allows you to do those two things separately. So that's really nice. Performance, faster pattern loading, optimized previews in the data views component, improved PHP 8 support, quite a bit of deprecated code removed, auto sizes for lazy loaded images, more efficient.
That's really helpful. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What, the lazy load images bit?
Yeah. Well, just a general, I mean, there's some really interesting geeky technical performance improvements that will definitely help some of our clients. That's a real big bonus.
Nice. The final one mentioned here was efficient tag processing in the HTML API. And then 65 accessibility fixes and enhancements focusing, well, the rest is just marketing speech, basically. So there we go. Tim, Michelle, Louise, anything to add on that first piece, really?
Just excited to explore it more.
Yeah, there's a lot to explore. Yeah. This will keep you going for weeks. Speaking of which, if you wanted to sort of get the skinny, let's do the short version first. Jamie Marsland did a video called WordPress 6.7 in 250 seconds. And no surprises, it takes 250 seconds to watch the video. And he highlights the top features plus something which has been in WordPress for a few more versions. But that's really great. If his channel, Jamie WP, so youtube.com/@JamieWP. That's a really quick way of getting some intel. But then if you want to watch the longer version, the official 6.7 release video is with Rich Table. And it's not that much longer. It's only 2 minutes.
It's half the time. It's half the time.
Yeah. Do you know what? Do you know what's weird about that? I, for some reason, had in my head that this was a really long... Anyway, forget that. I thought it was shorter.
The seconds. But it's not. The seconds got you. You're like, 250 seconds? That has to be less than 2 minutes.
But I also watched another video, and it wasn't by Rich, which was like a really long one, and I've obviously kind of juxtaposed the two things. What I thought was kind of interesting about this video is I think maybe we're seeing the Marsland effect, I'm going to call it, whereby this looks like there's a bit of a, how to describe it, bit of a workflow, an SOP going on with the WordPress channel. It looked really nice, basically. And I know that I mentioned that. And Louise, you kind of had the same
impression. I was quite impressed by it. It seemed really slick, but not just marketing fluff. It had some really helpful, it was a great helpful introduction. I stuck it in our company Slack channel the first thing this morning when I watched it, because I just thought for the non-technical people in our organization, this is the sort of thing they can be talking to our clients about when they're, if we ever need to talk about updating or what the latest features of the latest version it's just that headline, but it was done in a really nice way.
Yeah, the whole thing is just really professionally done. And I think that is the difference, that having somebody paid up in automatic, i.e. Jamie, is going to do. It's just, you know, those videos are going to go through him, and he's going to edit them as he sees fit. And so there's two videos. I'll link to them in the show notes, give you a quick primer of what's in WordPress 6.7. Also, on a slightly more technical note, we always mention these, but we can't get into the weeds of it, A, because I'm not clever enough, and B, because they're too long. And this is Nick Diego's What's New for Developers, November 2024. And you can just see, like, the table of contents fills the page. And if you are a developer, there's things about, I don't know, experimental inline comments, block bindings, API updates, stuff about WordPress Playground, which I think is the most exciting thing in WordPress at the moment. Stuff about themes, blah, 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 interactivity API, I think I mentioned, you know, just all the stuff. And it's all mentioned in long form with code examples and da, 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 da. So go and check that out. The only person I would drag in there, I think, would be Tim. Maybe, I don't know, anything developer-y on that side that you thought was curious, or should we just move on?
No, just, I mean, it really is, I know it looks like it's a chunky resource, but it is also a really useful resource. Mm. Between that and the one that gets published just before there's a new release, it's really nice to see these developer docs turning up now regularly.
Yeah.
And they are really, really useful.
You've got to imagine
reading them.
You've got to imagine that this is now part of their job description, right? Because it feels like this stuff isn't not being, you know, it's not like an afterthought. The likes of Nick Diego, Ryan Welcher, Justin Tadlock, they're producing this content on a really regular cadence. And I feel like if we rewound the clock a couple of years, none of that stuff was, you know, you really had to go and look in Slack and things like that. But now it all seems to be written up in a nice, concise way on, developer.
One of the biggest pushbacks throughout the early stages of when it was Gutenberg specifically, but generally of the WordPress project, has always been, if you're running things fast, it's not even that you're breaking changes, but if you're running things really fast, people get left behind and documentation often got left behind.
It is really hard to keep up sometimes. And the cadence of releasing the plugin every couple of weeks means, you know, there's stuff going on all the time and you can't keep up. As an agency, we have engineering team meetings once a fortnight, and I will often take little snippets from things like that, and I'll take them to the meeting to work out what bits we're doing, what bits we're not doing. And then occasionally I'll just sort of email and everyone go, yeah, we've been doing that for ages, Louise, don't worry about it. But it's just nice to keep up to date because we have to.
Yeah,
and it's hard to know how.
I'm getting a sense that there's like this almost like business mission critical feel to it. You know, in other words, our customers are not necessarily paying for WordPress because they're downloading it from WordPress.org in most cases. But it's being treated more as a serious endeavor. And the same thing would happen over at learn.wordpress.org, the exact same thing. You know, just resources are going in, which presumably didn't go in before. Or maybe it was just the boots on the ground weren't there. But now it's definitely happening. Speaking of which, there's a nice little pivot here. And that is, we'll take us away from developer.wordpress.org over to learn.wordpress.org. I've never seen this. And so I don't know if I just made up that it's new or if it's new, but
Courtney will know.
Yeah,
Courtney could let us know.
Okay, Courtney, tell us, is this new? There's this calendar page and it's learn.wordpress.org/online workshops, and honestly, seeing it in a calendar is way better for my head than just seeing it in like a bullet pointed list of, I don't know, in some blog post somewhere, just mapping it to a day. So I should describe. Online workshops, I'm quoting, online workshops are live sessions where you can learn alongside other WordPress enthusiasts. They're a safe zone where you can come as you are, develop new ideas, explore issues, ask questions, etc. Right? And it's basically a calendar interface. You've got a list view and a calendar view, and you click on the ones that, you know, have still to happen, and it just gives you a little pop-up, tells you the date and time. There's an add to Google Calendar. Interesting. But so you can add things to your calendar. At the moment, there are four events coming this week. One, what have we got? Tuesday, two on Wednesday, and one on Friday. But that's it. After that, the calendar is like totally empty. Maybe December's a bad month to pick, but anyway, you can't go any further. So I kind of thought it was new, but I like this. This is a page that I'm going to keep coming back to as an easy resource for finding new stuff that's going on. So Developer Hours is tomorrow. Learn WordPress Study Hour is on Wednesday. Something in, I think that might be Japanese or Chinese, so I can't actually read it. Let me click on it. It's happening on Wednesday as well. Hopefully other people can read that. And then there's Learn WordPress Study Hour happening on Friday as well. I just like it. It's just a neat thing. It's just a bit more kind of professional, leaning into that whole let's help the community thing.
Yeah, Courtney says it's not new. It's a refreshed design.
Okay. So has it always been at that URL? Okay, thank you. Not new. It's a refreshed design. We now have so that was Courtney. Now it's Tammy again. We now have dedicated developer relations roles. So yes, it's something focused. Of course, there you go. Although not new, but past few years. Yes, okay. She goes on to say, Tammy, turns out open source is very, very much needs developer relations, not to have those doing 100 roles also do DevRel. Good point. Hear to DevRel, says Courtney.
Yeah.
And finally, also need more types in DevRel, something to consider as we build this practice. I think we should lock Courtney and Tammy in a room and they can just fix this whole entire thing in a very
short... At least answer all our questions.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it's not new. It's been there for a while, but it's had a bit of a refresh. The fact that it got a refresh, probably it got pinged on some news wire or something. Anyway, it caught my attention. So
is
the URL.
Is like our feed of all of the events, or is it just you and only add individual events to your calendar?
I don't know. Let's have a look. If I click on that, if I add to Google Calendar, I'm actually logged out of Google. No, I'm logged out of Google.
My little nitpick is I really hate it when people add to Google Calendar, but don't offer just an iCal feed.
Yeah.
Because it's like, not everybody uses Google, and Google isn't necessarily a good UI interface for calendars.
I can't go back now. Brave is this. Oh, no, there we go. I can actually go back. Yeah, I would agree. That would be nice, right? And you could just...
Oh, hang on. No, it is. It's at the bottom.
There it is at the bottom.
We didn't
scroll. There we go.
That's the problem. Google Calendar, RSS, ICS. So let's click the RSS.
It can still be your pet peeve. It's just...
It's now fixed on this one site.
No, that's right. You've got to scroll, Tim. It's rubbish. You've got to scroll. Look, there it is. Yeah. The joys of XML. We've got a nice RSS feed that we can... that's going to stay on my screen. I'll come back to that later and do things with it, because that's quite interesting. Okay. Anyway, there it is. It was... I've forgotten the URL. It's at learn... No, it isn't. Yes, it is. It's at learn.wordpress.org/online-workshops. And good place to bookmark. You know, even if you just look at it once a month or something to see what's going on. Okay. Excuse me, the coughing. All right, let's not get into this much, but I thought I'd mention it. This is a piece on the WP Tavern. Automatic launches WP Engine tracker to monitor sites leaving WP Engine sparking controversy. I think nobody needs the WP Engine automatic thing spelling out. Everybody shake their heads. Nobody needs that, do they? No, we're all shaking our heads. That's good. So this is a new thing, and it looks like this. Here it is. It's WordPress, the whole word, enginetracker.com, and it's got a big number like that, 19,960. And this number apparently, and I don't know how anybody knows this, but this is the number of websites which have gone away from WP Engine and have moved elsewhere. And apparently, I don't know where you can do it, but apparently somewhere you can click something which, excuse me, will tell you where they've gone to. Anyway, as you may imagine, that the mere existence of this website, and probably I should point out it's automatic, it got people, you know, a little bit heated. And in this particular piece down here, right at the bottom, there's a bunch of people with commentary all about why they think this is not a good idea. It's just an ongoing story, isn't it? And we never seem to get through a week where there isn't something new happening. Any commentary on that, or are we all just going to move on? I'm just saying that it's a thing.
I like Tammy says, ALEXA. I have one on my desk, so I can't say it out loud.
Oh, that
video.
Alexa play. What does that mean? I don't.
It means how you used to have the kittens and the lambs whenever we'd start to talk about this.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, let's move away to the.
Yeah, let's move. Yeah, that's right.
We need rainbows and unicorns at this point, stalking companies.
How about cats, dogs, and sheep? After that sort of slightly difficult moment, here we go. We're going to have like just a 10 second detox. Here it comes. I'm feeling cleansed.
It's a ukulele for me, quite honestly.
Also,
where did you get that from?
I made it.
I love it.
Yeah. It's like a whole minute and a half. And I was using it quite a lot over the last, basically, whenever anything controversial happened and people got heat, nobody got heated on this show, let's be honest.
No.
But on other, you know, there was the capacity to get heated, put it that way. So yeah. I deployed it and it's like a whole minute and a half of cats, dogs and sheep. And that last little one could have been right outside of Tim's window, couldn't it? It was very more like.
I've got several of those.
Yeah. Tim out of his window, check this out. No, I bet nobody else on the show can say this. Tim's got alpacas out of his window. I haven't. That'd be nice.
And snow.
Yeah, and snow. Well, looks like snow.
I, in fact, don't live in Yorkshire. I live in Peru. I just didn't want to admit it.
You don't have snow then.
Okay, here we go. Heading home from the gym and wanted to... hang on. Let's pause this for a moment. So Cammie has moved from watching this show in the gym. So she's now in the car watching this show. Presumably type Tammy pullover. Please don't type whilst, you know, unless you're getting Madame A, the Alexa. Oh, I just said the word thing. Heading home from the gym and want the panel to know you made it, Fon. Now listening on my drive home, no typing. Oh, okay. All right. You answered my question. And Tammy says, oh, breathe. Have a breath and a sip of tea. That's the video we all need. And then a vomit icon.
But in response to the sheep or what?
What is that
in response to?
I think the fact that it's happened means that you have to mention it, but I don't want to get into the who's right and who's wrong. But there it is. That website exists and we will move on. Okay. Right. Should we just leave Colin's vomit icon? Just leave it on for the whole of the rest of the show. In a way, it'd be nice if I could enlarge it somehow.
I'm not sure Calvin Alkin would like that on this part of it.
Oh, no, okay. Yeah, that's not fair, is it? She said, I did. What? Oh, I see. Tim's got alpaca. You, Tammy, is saying in the comments, she's got a lead poisoned squirrel.
Oh, bless.
Yeah.
Someday we'll have to learn more about that.
Yeah. Some things just catch you short, don't they? There's not a lot of us feel that we can say in response to that, other than I hope the squirrel gets well soon. That sounds awful. Right, Calvin. Here we go. Calvin Alkin and I had a chat. I mentioned this last week. Calvin has produced a product called Command UI, and it kind of took over. If you were on the socials a couple of weeks ago, he released this product into the wild and it just went berserkers. And so I did a podcast episode where he describes how he decided to build that plugin and also, you know, the fact that he had no expectations that it would be a success. And I've been speaking to Calvin on and off for the last few weeks, and it seems like it's going well. He pointed out that it didn't take too long for the code to be downloaded and basically by the sounds of it to be released by somebody else. So that's kind of an interesting and new development that Calvin's having to deal with. But also, it was an opportunity for me to raise this one, which we talked about a lot in the past, which is a UK dev called Ross Wintle, who came up with something similar a while ago and did it as a plugin, but now can't update the plugin. And Tim, just correct me, does he work for WP Engine? Is that
he does indeed, yes.
Okay, so no longer has access to the repo, so doesn't update the plugin anymore. But there is a Chrome extension or a browser extension, and that means that you can put it in the browser. I actually don't have it enabled because I'm in incognito. But what that means is that you can do, I'd love this UI. Look at that on the website. That's cool, isn't it? That you can start typing stuff. Isn't that nice? Nice little form. That's what we're all searching for in our WordPress websites on a regular basis. Have you noticed when you do that? Do you ever do that in forms where you just type gibberish? I do it, and basically every time I get more or less the same gibberish. It's a combination of S, Ks, and Vs, usually. It's just SKV, SKV, SKV. Anyway, it's called Turbo Admin, and if you want to buy it, you still can. And it runs inside the... It's not a plugin, so it's not sitting on a per-site basis in a website. It runs through the browser, so it's kind of an interesting alternative.
So there's no extra plugin to install on your site?
No, yeah. You don't install anything on your site. It just detects...
That's interesting.
Yeah. Detects that you're in the WordPress admin, and then it does a bunch of the sort of search and functionality. So, I don't know, you could start to type in post, POS, and you'd pop that far, and it give you options to add post or, you know, what have you. But then also it will do a few little cleanups, like it'll clean up admin notices into a handy little panel, which it just calls notices. It just hides them away in there. And it will also truncate things in the admin bar at the top. You can collapse it, extend it, and things like that. It's neat. So two options: Command UI from Calvin or Turbo Admin from Ross. Okay. Anybody want to say anything to
I am a huge fan of Turbo Admin.
Uh-huh.
A massive fan. And I always have been from the sort of the day that Ross first showed it. And I basically went, is it ready for Firefox yet? Is it ready for Firefox yet? until it works on Firefox.
Is it ready for Firefox?
Yeah, it works with both Chrome and Firefox.
Nice.
Can I just ask a question? Actually, I'll probably delay that. No, I'm going to ask it now because we're going to talk about Firefox at the end. Mm. I know that you're a massive Firefox fan, right? That's your browser of choice, right?
It is indeed.
Yeah. Do you struggle with that because of its, how to describe it? Chrome just took over the world, and it looks like all the developers, in the same way that, you know, for a long time, if you were developing a mobile app, you went iPhone first and Android kind of was the second thing. That's probably not the case anymore. But do you find that's the case with Firefox, with things like this? If you want a fun extension that does one thing, you might find something on Firefox, whereas you'll definitely find something on Chromium.
So most extensions these days, they have compatibility between all, they use the same sort of API layer, so that in theory, things that work on Chrome work on Firefox and vice versa. Now, this doesn't always work, and let's face it, Google are not good at playing nicely with others, and so they keep changing the ballpark and rules and how things work. Generally, I find that most extensions that I want to use come from people who care about such things and will want to get maximum compatibility. So it's unless it's a very niche thing. And then if it's a very niche thing, it tends to probably be more likely to be on Firefox than it is on Chrome, to be honest. Because if you're that niche, you're also probably someone who actually cares about like open source and open standards. So hopefully you'd start off on Firefox. They really, what really irritates me is platforms like the one we're on right now, recording, which won't let you use Firefox.
Can I just ask, is there a genuine limitation to that, or are they just being annoying?
They just can't be bothered.
Is it that? It really is.
They've decided for whatever reasons to use a Chrome specific API.
Okay.
Instead of using what there are plenty of platforms that can use Firefox. It's not like there is, it's not putting a web call on it doesn't require any hugely specific Chrome specific stuff. They're making that choice. They're also blocking Safari at the same time.
So you have to sully your computer with a Chromium based browser.
I do. Having to talk to you in Chrome and consequently things like my frustrations because like I have to open OBS up just to get my camera to work.
Oh,
just
I'm sorry.
Stuff like that will just because it's just.
I have a random question, right, which is always interesting to me. Okay, so I got a new Mac the other day. It's actually not that recent. It was about 2 months ago, and I don't know if you're like me, but there's no way I'm going through the Mac OS. Like, let's reinstall everything from the old computer. I want that to be brand new, right? So firstly, does anybody do that? When you switch on a new computer, do you just go totally green, everything is vanilla, or do you chuck stuff over? And if you're like me, you just build, you want it to be nothing on there, how long does it take? How long does it take before you just think, oh, sod it, and everything just comes back over? because I'm at that point now where like, it's like just beginning to be full of crud. I need to rein myself in a bit.
So I'm an absolute geek, which means that I, for many years, had a .files folder, which is basically a way of collecting all your configurations and bits, and then you can just import the configurations and run it. And that way I can have the same configuration on this machine as I can on my Linux machine, as in, and or wherever I am, it feels and works the same way. But I'm afraid I have been converted to the dark side, which is Nix. And now, much like an Arch Linux user, I'm compelled to tell anybody whenever they start talking about this that I am a Nix user.
Because it's best.
It's one of those things I must immediately go, I am a Nix user.
Yeah. And the halo begins to form. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. But so I love my configuration files and tweaking them. That's my hobby in life. YAML files.
I'm at that point where what's it called on macOS? Is it called the Launchpad or something like that? The Launchpad is prodigiously empty. There's basically nothing on there, but it's starting to fill out. It doesn't take long. And then suddenly, oh, maybe I could just make, and it just, one thing goes on and it won't be too long. I give myself another 4 or 5 weeks. And then it'll just,
you know, there's a configuration change that you can make to make the Launchpad go away.
Go on.
No, you can literally just edit it and then it won't be there. And then you
fill
it up.
Well, I quite like it because I want, on some level, secretly, I want to fill it up with junk that I'm never going to use.
It's like the closet where you open the door and everything comes piling out.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Michelle. I don't know why I do it. You know, you've got that one task that you think, you know, I need the 250 gigabyte program that will handle this one MP3? Probably not, but I'm going to put GarageBand on. Yeah, there you go. Boom. Actually, not GarageBand, Logic. And it's just massive. All I'm doing is truncating an MP3. Doesn't make any sense, but I can't help myself. Tammy is not like that. She's not. She says, always vanilla, but interestingly, on my phone, I transfer. Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff on the phone, isn't there? Like contacts and stuff that you can't avoid. And I feel like the computer's photos. Photos.
The last two PCs, I'm a PC rather than a Mac, but the last two PCs, well, the laptop that I'm on at the moment, the reason I got that was because my old laptop, I came in one Monday morning and the screen was sort of slightly fizzy and it was as dead as a dodo. And one of the things I'm a bit paranoid about is, you know, everything's in, well where we share, share all our files. And within a couple of hours of getting the new machine, I was back up and running again.
Nice.
And that is, for me, really important. So I have a notebook, a laptop in the office, and my browsers, my tabs, as much as identical as possible, so there's no context switching by machine, because otherwise it just slows me down.
But
that thing, that disaster recovery of, yes, all I need, because we're on 365, is to get 365 installed, up and running, log in. All the passwords are saved in Password Manager, so that's not a problem. And then Bob's your uncle.
It's really sad, isn't it? But the moment you do get your new computer out, it is a thoroughly enjoyable couple of hours. I absolutely love it. If somebody were to give me a computer on Christmas morning and I unboxed it, honestly, that whole day is gone. I'm just there fiddling with it.
I am with Tammy, though, because interestingly, as she said on the phone, when I got a new phone, everything just got copied over. I was not going to start to curate things. It was just new phone, put the SIM card in, away you go.
I have a mental process for backing up my photos. It is truly ridiculous, but it works. No, I can't explain it. I'm not even going to try. But
do a video.
Yeah, it involves all sorts of things, but it works, but it's ridiculous. But getting photos off a phone is like the devil's work, I find. Okay, anyway, there we go. Two products. Go and check them out. Calvin Alkin's Command UI, which Tammy says she loves. She says it's amazing. And Ross Wintle's Turbo Admin, which is a different take. But this one's been around a lot longer. Okay, right. It's time to buckle in. Tim, in the intro at the beginning, let me read it. He said, doom speaker of gloom. They were the words, quoting. Here it comes. Here's some doom speaking moment for you, Tim. Now, This is on, hang on, let me get that Tammy comment away. There we go. 4 million WordPress sites using really simple security, free and pro versions affected by critical authentication bypass vulnerability. This is on wordfence.com. Now, to be fair, WordFence often have titles just like this, you know, lots of big number, WordPress plugin, critical, there's a vulnerability, you know, the sky is falling in and what have you. And so it's, you know, you read the first couple of sentences and you think, well, it's probably not that bad. There's only 14 people that have installed it and so on, blah, blah, blah. This one, though, began differently. It says, this is one of the most serious vulnerabilities that we've reported in our 12-year history as a security provider for WordPress. The vulnerability affects really simple security, formerly known as really simple SSL, installed on over 4 million websites and allows an attacker to remotely gain administrative access to a site running the plugin. The vulnerability is scriptable, meaning it can be turned into a large-scale automated attack targeting WordPress websites. The vendor worked with WordPress plugins team to force updates all sites running this plugin before we publish this post. So there's some good news. Wow. Tim, is it really that bad?
Yes.
Oh, darn. I was hoping you'd say no.
Just to clarify a couple of things. Normally, you're right. We will get the end of the world, this plugin. And when you start looking at it, going, well, yeah, that is serious. As long as I'm standing on one leg while rubbing my head and rubbing my tummy. But unless a particularly unique scenario happens, most people would be fine. Now, in this particular instance, this is as close you get to copy URL. Congratulations, you are an administrator of something. I try to put people, like, keep people in sort of like, you know, this isn't that scary. This one, terrifying. Now, it's made obviously slightly more worse in that it is a security plugin that is the cause of this. Oh. And the security vendors love nothing more than to announce the security vulnerability. Plugins. You can imagine the smiles and jubilations when they find these things. But no, in this case, it's super serious. It's more so made perhaps even more so that there have got to be a lot of people who read this and are not going to realize that they're affected, because they're going to see the title, which is, whatever is it, really simple security or something?
Really simple security. Yeah.
And they're going to go, well, I don't have really simple security. What I had was simple SSL.
Yeah, it used to be called Really Simple SSL. It got renamed to Really Simple Security, actually quite recently by all accounts. It wasn't that
exactly
long ago.
Exactly. So this is going to mean that there's going to be a lot of people who don't recognize the name, so will immediately go, well, that's not something to be worrying about. Where it might well be that they actually do have this installed and they just don't realize it. I mean, there are 4 million installs of this. It was a very popular plugin. It's faded away, and most sites probably that are running it today probably don't need to be running it.
Yeah.
They just don't realize it. It's scary. It will affect a lot of people. And it's going to, because it's on older sites, there is not an unreasonable chance that there is going to not be automatic updates, and the security team's push may not have achieved what they wanted it to do. So we might well see that there's still going to be this big spike in attacks where sites that couldn't be updated automatically will be affected. So one to come back to in about a month to see what damage has truly been done. Scary.
I think this is
really dangerous.
Yeah. Go on, Louise. Sorry, you carry on.
I was going to say, back in the day, we take over other people's pickles, as I call it. And sometimes when someone's who's non-technical has built a site, back in the day, they'd use this plugin so they didn't have to worry about switching it from non-SSL to SSL because it forced all the URLs. And this was often done by non-technical people, which is fine. It's a great solution when you want to have a security certificate and make sure your site's secure. But it means that the chances are, the people who are using this plugin aren't technical. Often the owners of the websites will have had a freelancer or somebody build them the site or help them with it, and then they'll have long gone. And as you say, if they're on, we regularly still come across sites on WordPress 4.something. They won't necessarily have been updated for quite a few years. And the chances are you won't be able to force an update So those sites will be 100% vulnerable.
Okay, so Tim, from everything that you've... Well, actually, let me just go back to the website. And it says, the vulnerability makes it possible for an attacker to remotely gain access to any account on the site, including the administrator account, when the two-factor authentication feature is enabled. Wait, hang on. So you have to actually enable two-factor authentication for this feature, for this vulnerability to expose itself. Oh, gosh, I imagine WordFence were probably having quite an enjoyable moment writing that sentence. and it was, as you described, I think, a little while ago, Tim, this was like copy-paste URL kind of territory. That's all you needed to do, and now you're an administrator of the site, yeah?
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, so here's a nice thing. This was on the repo. And it would appear that it was handled in a responsible way. Let's put it that way, because the team, the plugin, the WordPress plugin team, were in the position to force an update on all sites running this plugin before this post was published. So hopefully that mitigated a lot. So that's really nice to know that that happened. But nice little comment from Reese here. Hello, Reese. We were chatting on Blue Sky earlier. Yeah. And I'd never chatted to Reese before. So there you go. Blue Sky for the win. When Tim says it's bad, it's bad. So, Tim, can you just say it's bad so that we are all clear, please?
It's bad.
Oh! We need the opposite video to the dogs, cats, and sheep. We need the sort of like, I don't know, something, some scary animal. So please, 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 if you've got any client websites that you haven't looked at for a while and you've got the intuition that you had an SSL plugin on there at some point, go and check it out because it might matter. Okay. Now then, a couple of pieces. No. Sorry, somebody.
Now I need a GIF of Tim just saying, it's bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, with a pipe. Looking like Sherlock Holmes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I found the pipe already. I'm talking to Tammy about it, so well, it's going to happen.
I took a few pictures the other day of Tim at the WordPress London event, and I missed an opportunity there. We should have had a pipe, Tim. That would have been good. They turned out all right, didn't they, though?
And a deer stalker cap.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go, Reese again. The slight stutter before Tim says it's bad just then made it seem even worse. Under the microscopic inspection here, Tim. Okay, so a couple of pieces now from our panelists. The first one is this one. Who was the? Which one of you three raised this one? Personalized WP. This comes out of the filter agency. Go for it, Louise.
That was me, because we've been testing it out and we've started to suggest to some of our clients or prospective clients that this might be a nice way of improving their conversions on their websites to make more personalized content with blocks. I thought this post was really interesting coming up to Black Friday, particularly thinking about how you can use blocks and customize them if it's a returning visitor, if it's someone who's coming on and you want. And what I'm trying to do at the moment with a little bit of help from the personalized WP team is see if I can set up a nice little advent calendar. So something date related, you know, you go on a page and if it's a certain date, it shows something. So I just think there's lots and lots of potential with this plugin to have a bit of fun as well as potentially help clients get better conversions on their websites from personalizing the content. And this seemed particularly helpful a couple of weeks out from Black Friday, because obviously it's too late once you're there on the day. But countdowns, timers, personalizing content, really helpful.
So this enables you to set, it's like a if this, then that kind of trigger and then response.
And you can have triggers based on time of day, date, where you are in the work, where your visitors are, whether this is their first time visiting your site or whether they've visited previously, all that sort of thing. So it's really helpful to do sort of special offers and things that you only want certain people to see, not everybody.
I want to have a trigger that it goes like this. If Tim Nash says it's bad, then lightning bolts come in with sound effects on the website, you know, and heavy rain or something like that. That's Tim's kind of, I don't know if he's in agreement with that, but okay, so there it is. Personalized WP.
No, I thought you were going to say if Tim Nash blocked websites.
it's way more straightforward. Yeah, that's it. No, there we go. Personalized WP. Check that out. And then we had another one here. ChatGPT search and how it uses Bing data. This is from Yoast.
Yeah, that was me again, because ChatGPT have now released a search feature. If you're on their paid version, it's like $20 a month or something like that. I've been using Perplexity.ai for a while now, which also has a search feature. And the reason I like it is, unlike just asking ChatGPT to give me 500 words on a topic, if I search for something, it will give me the websites that it's got that result from, which gives me that slight confidence of where that content is coming from. The reason I thought this was interesting and very timely was because I was chatting to one of our clients last week, small professional services organization local to us. They'd had an inquiry from somewhere really random. When they followed up on it, how did you find out about us? The people said, oh, we use ChatGPT. So people are starting to get commercial opportunities from customers using ChatGPT or some other AI to find the answer to their question or their problem. So, and in the UK, people aren't really using Bing so much for search as much as Google, but this is a good reason to get your website properly indexed by Bing and then make sure that the search bot bit of it can go and use your website in the search results.
Have you used not sort of like through an API or anything like that, but have you used the ChatGPT search interface?
Yeah.
Is it basically like Google, like a form field, and you just fill it in? And
it's a form field. You get a sort of a result below, but then on my big screen on the right hand side, I was getting a list of.
Is it like this? What I'm showing on the screen now, would that be how it looks when you get a result? Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So it prioritizes
really nice
the first
experience.
One. Right.
Yeah, but then also, you know, you haven't got any ads, you haven't got it's just a nice user experience. It's back to a bit of what Google was too many years ago to remember.
So what I'm looking at there, so if I use ChatGPT search, that is in the same way that if I use ChatGPT, it mimics the idea of it's typing it out and it types it all out. This isn't like directly scraped from the whatever website it's using. This is ChatGPT's attempt to corral a bunch of information into one page's worth of information that you can consume, including charts and things. And then there's other things on the right.
And then on the right-hand side is where it got those results from. So I was just testing it out this morning and I put in the top 10 best WordPress themes. And it gave me a piece of content that I could have easily turned into some sort of, you know, thought piece on what are the top 10 best WordPress themes on the left-hand side. But then it gave me the sources, and most of the sources were those listing type articles of what are the best themes. So it had used all those sources to generate the content on the left. And it meant I could see which sources it had used, which for me personally, I find really helpful to know where it's getting that information from. So ideally, you want to be one of those sources.
I can imagine that if you're already paying for ChatGPT, and this is the interesting thing, I think loads of search companies have come along and tried to do paid search, and none of them have succeeded because it's just such an impediment. Because Google is already fantastic at delivering things, but a lot of business, and I mean a lot of businesses, are already paying for ChatGPT. So the search, that's just now, if you like, for free, right? It's just part of what you're already paying for. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting, so they can start to really challenge Google. And obviously, in this case, we're looking at a piece by Yoast. Yoast are going to have to be on top of this, because I'm imagining it's going to deliver a very, very different set of results, SERPs-based.
Yeah. No, and I think the interesting thing is making sure your website can, because initially, when AI came out, there was an issue of copyright. And do you want your website and your content scraped by AI? Well, that ship sailed. But now it's about making sure it's scraped by the right AI bots so that you can appear in the AI search.
Gosh, it's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah.
And for me, it was particularly interesting because we've never spent much time talking to our clients about Bing, but here's a really good reason why you might want to, because it's essentially it's fundamentally using Bing search results. It's certainly not using Google.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Tim, Michelle, anything on that?
Wouldn't it be interesting if using ChatGPT search, it gave deference to the things that it recognized that it had written and raised them up in the search results? I think that that's something we also maybe need to take a look at.
So what do you mean by that? Do you mean that it like somebody had in the past, somebody had created an AI piece of content, published it as a blog post, and now ChatGPT was finding that? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Anything that at the end says in summary,
Yeah, or uses the words, well, there's certain keywords, isn't there? Yeah, you just know that a chatbot has written that because it's just this hyperbolic kind of language that it's using. Okay, so that's interesting. So that's on Yoast.com/ChatGPT-search. It kind of worries me, all this stuff with everybody throwing AI out onto the internet. And for that reason alone, Michelle, is that I don't know how we're going to know what's AI and what's not at some point. You can imagine this self-fulfilling prophecy where the AI just writes more stuff to promote itself. And also,
people who are really good writers, some of their work is looking like it's created by AI now and is being incorrectly flagged.
Oh, I watched a YouTube video. I rarely watch YouTube, but I watched one this weekend, and it was a musician. This is such a horrible thing, right? I'll try and find it if I can. It'll be in my search history somewhere.
I watched the same video.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I easily which one are you going to talk about?
Yeah, let me say, and you can say, yeah, that was the one. And it was a musician, and he's obviously got a very large YouTube channel, like 500,000 or, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people. So he's credible. He wrote music specifically so that it would be consumed by an AI, which would then rewrite music like his, and then he wrote his own music, and then he got a copyright violation from an AI company because his music sounded too much like the music that had been written by the AI. And it all happened in he got from start to finish in, I think he said 20 minutes, didn't he, or something? Yeah, they did the whole endeavor in
fast time.
Yeah. And so basically he wrote a piece of music. Mm-hmm. It got caricatured by AI. Presumably the giant marketing, the legal engine on the back of whatever it is that does these copyright infringements spotted it almost immediately, issued a copyright notice warning, and he either had to pay it or take his content down. His own music.
Right. it's scary.
It opens a whole can of worms, because who owned that music in that he created initially? Because that's like, if he as the end user put in the parameters in the prompt to generate the music, does he now own that, or does the AI company own that? And if you're about to say, well, obviously the AI company owns that, then you're like, so does that mean every prompt you've ever typed into ChatGPT, the content that's come out of it at the other end is owned by OpenAI?
It depends on the terms and conditions. It also depends on where you are in the world. So if you're based in the UK, it's more likely to be owned by you. But if you're based in the US, it's more likely to be owned by, because it also affects the legal liability. If the AI spouted back something that was dangerous, who's liable for the damages resulting from that?
I think liable for it is not the AI company. We suddenly remember that they found this obscure piece of law that says they're not responsible. But you're exactly right. And except you've got YouTube, so Google, and Google are going to just go on whatever suits them. They'll switch country depending on wherever they want to be at. Just going very quickly back, I have been doing a challenge throughout November where I haven't been using Google search at all.
Huh, nice.
Which has been an interesting experiment. And I've been using a tool called Perplexia, which is not the same thing as Perplexity. Instead, it's a front end that gives me an interface that allows me to hook up to something called Search NG, which is a localized search crawler that I have. and I can use a local LLM to talk back to me in the same way that Perplexity does, and it's rubbish.
I wasn't expecting that.
And you were like, build it up. No,
it's a load of rubbish.
Nightmare. And in fact, 9 times out of 10, I have actually been known to do it. But it's amazing how the world has moved on in 3 months.
I think on some level, things like that video, like I think broadly speaking, I'm a bit worried about AI. And not for the, it's going to create a load of robots and shoot us all. Not that kind of scared. It's just all the unexpected consequences. And his video, that musician's video, really distilled it in such a perfect way that the actual content of his head could be used against him by an AI successfully. And he explained the consequences of not opting your video out or not monetizing it and basically it's not worth it. You don't have the juggernaut of lawyers behind you to carry that off. So the only option you've got really is to remove that content from YouTube or to let the AI company take the profits from it. Mm-hmm. So gosh. Anyway, there you go. It's at this moment that Tim inserts a pipe into his mouth and says, "It's bad. We're gonna have to."
It's different.
It's okay. All right. Yeah, we're gonna have two variants.
Just have to get used to. The cat is out of the bag. So at this stage, we cannot put this back in the bag.
Yeah.
And people are gonna use this for good, ill, and development will continue for good or ill. And you're just gonna have to get used to it.
What we need is less cats in a slightly bigger bag. That's the name of this episode. Less cats in a bigger bag. Can somebody quickly write that down? Because that's definitely what this one's called. Right, we're closing in on our 90-minute deadline, so that's perfect. We will end it there. As always, thank you. Oh, Tammy, I'll just raise Tammy's comment. She says that, interesting. She gets AI to tell her what to paint. I'm guessing, yeah. Has been training it on my own photos and art, so find this fascinating. Okay. And then she corrected the title. Yeah, that is fascinating. So, but in this case, you're not then getting sued by an AI company for the art that you produce, I hope. Okay, there we go. That's all the commentary. So I'll just go around the houses and say thank you to our co-host, Michelle Frechette. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you to Tim Nash, who managed to stay calm despite the, we just threw a lot at you there, Tim. I'm sorry. Very zen-like approach to the whole thing. And finally, to Louise Towler. Thank you very much for joining us today. One slightly human...
Pleasure. Hang on. Thank you.
Just before we go, I just want to draw attention to... This is weird, right? I live basically just as far north and south as Tim does. I've got a big window just there, like... the size of Tim's window behind him, right? But if I turn out my lights, which are pointing at me, this is what we get.
Oh my goodness.
What the heck? How is it possible?
Oh my goodness.
How is it possible for me? I mean, look, it's light out the window. It's not at all dark. And yet it's like that. Isn't that insane? It's really not that dark.
Interesting, yeah.
There you go.
I'd point out that I have a giant studio light.
Oh. If you turn them out, does it also go pitch black for you? No, don't. Okay, you can't.
No, you see.
You've got the window exactly where you need it. This is what I need to do with my room. I need to set it up differently with a treadmill. Okay, Louise. sorry about this, Louise, but there's this slightly humiliating thing that we do at the end of every episode where we all raise our hands like this and sort of push them towards the camera. Get your face in the middle somewhere. Go for it, Louise. Just do it now. And we all say, hi, wave.
Hi.
Good. There we go. That'll do. And I'll use that as the album art. So thank you, Sumi.
Ouch! Do it again.
Go on. That's great. Do it again. No, okay. Nobody's done.
I did. I had them.
I didn't see. I'm sorry. I was too busy looking at Louise. That's absolutely brilliant.
I couldn't work out what was going on with your hands there, thinking, those don't look like hand hands.
Two weeks ago, you said something about tiny hands, so I got
some. You need to paint fingernails.
I know. Yeah, that's on the other side.
Michelle, my wife went to the shop the other day and came back with things just like that, only they had one finger poking up, and I'll bet you can't guess which one. Yeah, it was that one.
I saw those in the shop as well. I elected for the
peach. You go to those ones. Okay. We got the rude variant. Right. Anyway, on that bombshell, we will we'll see you this time next week. Thank you for joining us. Let me make sure that I fade out with the correct video. How do I do it? Where have we gone? That one, that one, that one. Okay, we'll see you next week. Take it easy. Thank you. Bye, bye, bye.